What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 393rd episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I am your host, SBJ. With me today, Will is back.
I'm back.
Bi-weekly Will.
Oh, hey. I don't have any travel plans so far for the month of February, so I think you'll be able to hear me every week, not have to wait so long for your Pokemon of the Week answers. But I have two announcements to make. You ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here also to stop this slander of my good name on your stream, Steve.
You're what? Oh,
what did he do? What did he do?
He claimed that I have bad taste in movies because I went and saw Cats twice.
I thought Cats was wonderful, and I saw it with you, and
well,
I
had a wonderful evening
with you and your husband and my mom.
Must exactly. Not care about jeans, must.
Are you looking for new hosts? don't like Cats, don't wear fancy jeans.
I wear Japanese denim.
Only eat garbage food, must like McDonald's above all other things. Like, I am here to stand on the hill that says, I understand Cats is not a great movie, but it's an enjoyable movie.
Oh, it certainly
is. I just want
to
point out that Greg equally liked Lion King. He just put all the... equally hated Lion King. He just put all the blame on me.
I like Lion King. You're the one that was saying that it's an unoriginal story.
It is unoriginal.
That's okay.
Based on what? Your example was Hamlet, and it is no way, shape, or form Hamlet.
Well, no, because the Simba doesn't die at the end.
Correct.
So...
And somebody's Nala doesn't drown herself in a pond. You bring me that version of Lion King, and then I'll submit to your Hamlet.
We got a show today. We got a lot of Pokemon Go news.
Ugh.
We got some movie news. Food Network made some Pokemon cakes. It's a heck of a show.
Which program did they make the Pokemon cakes on, just to warn me?
Oh, which one was it? It was one of the cake challenges, wasn't it?
Oh, as long as it wasn't like America's Worst Chefs or something like that, where they like just do horrible things to ingredients.
Food Network Challenge, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good show, though. I like it.
I've never seen it, so I guess it'll have commentary. Do you want to get the Pokemon Go news out of the way?
Yeah, yeah. I love Pokemon Go.
I can't tell if that's sarcasm or not. All right.
Is it coming from Will? Yes, it is.
Excuse me. I am a pure-hearted, honest young man.
Oh!
All right.
The amount of lies starting with young.
Oh, no!
This was sent in from James from our Slack community. This is off The Verge. Pokemon Go's live events drove nearly $250 million in tourism revenue last year. Niantic says its AR games are a boon for host cities of live events. The real question is, does Niantic do what the Olympic does and leave the city in shambles when it leaves?
Yes. Absolutely does.
Is that what happens with the Olympics?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
In shambles.
So off the verge here, Niantic Labs says its live events for augmented reality are a hit, with Pokemon Go contributing $247 million in tourism across three cities last year. The announcement on Wednesday paired with the schedule for 2020 events, including Pokemon Go, Ingress Prime, and Harry Potter Wizards Unite. Harry Potter Wizards Unite, still a game.
Hey, you guys were playing it for a bit.
Yeah. Niantic says its biggest revenue generator was last year's Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago, which drove $120 million in tourism expenditures from attending players across 64,000 attendees attending the four-day event. Niantic has greatly improved the live event infrastructure in the years since, and its events now largely go off without any issues. Another Pokemon Go Fest was the one in the German city of Dortmund, which drew more players. There was 86,000 attendees at Dortmund, but it only generated $60 million dollars in tourism revenue.
How did they calculate? How do you know that $1 that was spent was tourism revenue versus somebody else who came in for like a business meeting?
That would probably be up to the city, right? Because the cities are normally always looking for events, and then I would assume that Chicago knows because it rents out those parks, and then they can set the price to bid for those parks based on.
Yeah, but tourism revenue means like all the money that the tourists spend in the restaurants and everything like that, not necessarily the renting of the park. It's like, what money are they making off of tourists coming to their city?
Right, right, right. But like Gen Con knows that too, because like didn't Gen Con say if...
Oh yeah, they did.
Or
well,
sorry,
Gen
Indiana.
Con knows it because Indianapolis is like, boy, we were making $0 for the month of August right. And now all of a sudden we're making like $5 because that must be Gen Con.
I have imagined that they have a baseline of normal tourism and factor what has gone above and beyond that for that time period. Like, the middle of summer is not a huge business trip or Chicago tourism time.
Well, there's no such thing as Chicago tourism, so that's it right there, isn't it? Why would anybody want
Why would
to
anybody go
to
Chicago?
There?
People make different life choices.
Well, speaking of events... This is off PokemonGoLive.com, January 22nd. Trainers! The year of 2009 featured an incredible lineup of events for Pokemon Go, from welcoming trainers to 3 Pokemon Go Fests across 3 different continents, to hosting our first ever Safari Zone in Brazil, Singapore, and Canada. Every year we aim to go bigger and better than last year. In 2020, you can look forward to more ways we will capture your wallets in more locations. I made up the wallet part. We are pleased to announce our first ever events this year. Number one, the Taiwan Lantern Festival in Taichung City. Number two, St. Louis, Missouri Safari Zone. Number three, Liverpool, UK Safari Zone. And number four, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Safari Zone, which I think is in May, which is only the first 5 months of the year, so I would assume there will be more Safari Zones at a later date. So the non-ticketed special citywide event of the Taiwan Lantern City Festival will take place Thursday, February 6th to Sunday, February 9th. That actually starts on Mewtwo's birthday here. Pokemon appearing will include the electric type Pokemon Mareep and Electrike. Volbeat, a bug type Pokemon known for illuminating the skies, will be appearing throughout the city along with Illumise, a bug type Pokemon that guides Volbeat to draw patterns. There's actually a cute scene with those two in Detective Pikachu, the game, at the end where they're lighting up a festival. Illumise is typically only available in North America, South America, and Africa, so locals may want to catch it while they have a chance. They can also catch Unknown L to celebrate the light-themed event, and they can also enjoy the lovely sounds of Chimecho, the Wind Chime Pokemon. So not ticketed for that event starts actually relatively soon, so I don't know if anyone's scrambling to grab tickets to Taichung City, but if you need something to do, I guess. There it is. Celebrating the culture of... why is Niantic lying to us? Celebrating the culture of Missouri Safari Zone St. Louis. Maybe the culture of, like, crime.
Whoa!
Hey! St. Louis was nice the last time we were there.
Is not St. Louis right now number one ranked for crime over... I'm pretty sure it's even higher than Chicago at this point.
I don't pay attention to those things, so I have no idea.
Now I have to look it up.
All right, you look it up. I'll tell you what you can expect in the culture of Missouri. We are excited to have our first ever Safari Zone this year take place in St. Louis, Missouri. The culture hub of music, sports, and beautiful parks will be home to Safari Zone St. Louis's from Friday, March 27th to Sunday, March 29th. I just want to say, like, they couldn't go more south for a March event. Like, Missouri still gets cold weather. Taking place in the Tower Grove Park. This will be a ticketed event, so make sure to look out on Twitter, Pokemon Go app, for when tickets go live on Friday, January 24th to 2020. Tickets are mostly sold out, I think, as of this recording. Tickets will be sold through the app at a first-come, first-served basis. No lottery like they did for GoFest. General admission will be $12. And early access is 18. Early access ticket holders will be able to access the game for 2 hours early. Trainers can look forward to encountering Mankey, Unknown S, Teddy Ursa, Snivy, although they have a picture of Servine, not Snivy, and Feroz. I can't ever say it. I'm trying to say Feroz. It's I say Ferocede. No, it's not Ferocede. It's Ferocede, I think. Ferotho.
Ferris like iron. Ferocede. Not Ferocede, but Ferris like
iron.
That's
not Ferris. Do I have to bust
Ferris
up the
Ferris is iron.
No, it's like based on a tree. Hold on, I got the app right here. Because I know I say it wrong on the time. I'm trying to say it right. I got it for you guys. Ferocede. Ferrothorn.
That's some, I almost said a profanity for my first time ever recording
like
this program.
Fir is the beginning of some kind of tree, right? Like a ferocious tree or something?
What?
I don't know. Tree? What do I look like? A treeologist?
You got deciduous, you got evergreen.
Those are the only two trees.
in a certain category, yes.
Wait, how did they say it?
Ferocede.
Ferocede. I hate it. I actually hate it.
I do too.
Ferocede. We'll get to why they say it like that in a second. Ferocede throughout the park. Trainers from the Northern Hemisphere can sing for joy. Chatot, which is usually appearing only in the Southern Hemisphere, will be appearing in Tower Grove Park. All right, I'll stop here. Greg, do you have the crime records?
I do. St. Louis is listed as the most dangerous right now.
but I love St. Louis so much.
Detroit, they have a good museum.
Detroit number 2, Baltimore number 3, Memphis number 4, Kansas City number 5. Oh, and what's number 6?
Probably Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Heck yeah. Get yourself a PBR and get yourself robbed. Here we go. Will and I went to St. Louis together.
I know. That's why I'm like, you guys keep saying like, oh, it's going to be so cold. We were there for Irene's birthday in January and it was not that cold.
Yeah. I checked the weather for 2018 for the same time and it was 50 degrees.
Yeah. That's not bad at all.
So
that's t-shirts weather.
It's t-shirts weather here, but I don't know that's going to be the same for everybody.
So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I know Saturday sold out pretty instantly. I think it sold out within an hour. I don't know about Friday and Sunday as of this recording, but the $12 is from noon to 6. So you're getting 6 hours of play for $12. And then if you want 2 extra hours, it's $18, which is a little different than Pokemon Go Fest. I think Pokemon Go Fest was 10 to 6, was it not? It definitely didn't start at 12, unless I'm misremembering.
I know. Pokemon Go Fest, the early access was like 8 to 6, and then normal access was 10 to 6.
Yeah.
I think is the way that went. Yeah.
People are jumping to the fact that Teddy Ursa might be shiny here, just based off the fact that they seem to mention it. Trainers can encounter Mankey, already shiny, Unknown S, Teddy Ursa, Snivy, and Ferocede throughout the park. Liverpool. Ready your sails. The UK's first ever safari zone will be taking place in the beautiful waterfront of Liverpool. Enjoy this ticketed event in a magnificent 235-acre Sefton Park from Friday, April 17th to Sunday, April 19th. During this maritime themed event, trainers will have the opportunity...
Maritime.
During this what?
Trainers will have the opportunity to catch Krabby, Dratini, Chinchou, Unknown V, and Oshawott in the wild. Relicanth, typically only available in New Zealand and Samoa. Is that Samoa?
Yeah.
And some other islands in the... sorry, other islands in the Southwest Pacific will be also appearing in the wild. Be sure to catch one if you haven't already did. Interested in spending the spring weekend by the water with some splashy water type Pokemon ? Be sure to grab your ticket when they go live Friday, January 31st, 2020. Tickets will be first come, first serve, general admission, and will be £12, and early access will be £18. Early access ticket holders will be able to access the event early and receive 2 additional hours of gameplay. And then finally, get ready for the Safari Zone Philadelphia. Finally, we'll be hosting a Safari Zone in Philadelphia from Friday, May 8th to Sunday, May 10th. Tickets will be first come, first serve, $12, 18, early access, you get it. Be sure to make sure you plan early, obtain transportation, accommodation. Can't wait to see you, trainers, Pokemon Go team.
How are you saying that city?
Philadelphia or Liverpool?
It's Philadelphia.
That's what I said.
You said Philadelphia.
You keep saying Dell.
Philadelphia. Better?
Philadelphia, yes.
Dell-mice.
think of the Wisconsin Dells.
Okay.
That you want to fill with water.
Philadelphia. All right. I hear you. No Pokemon announced for that. So yeah, let's talk about this.
It's a lot.
Nothing about Pokemon Go Fest. I don't think they can walk away from Pokemon Go Fest because I think the branding around Pokemon Go Fest is very strong.
Is their contract done?
Their contract with Chicago is done.
Yeah, I think they can walk away from it.
I think they can walk away.
I think they got to do one more. And then they just commit to Safari Zones.
But I think the Safari Zone brand internationally is
a lot stronger,
than GoFest, because GoFest was just U.S.
Well,
I agree.
I don't know. They're not going to walk away from Dortmund. We don't know if that contract is up.
Yeah, but that was a Safari Zone, wasn't
it? No, that was a GoFest. There was three GoFests last year. One was
maybe they'll only have GoFest in Europe now.
Maybe. I just think their summers are too strong, and they did go out of their way to say that Chicago made $120 million in revenue. I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago tries to get another 1 to 2 years out of them, because I don't think they just walked away from that contract and said, yeah, we're good. I'm sure Chicago was like, do you want another year or two?
I mean, Chicago might, but that doesn't mean that they want... I mean, Chicago's expensive.
Yeah. And
like, Chicago's really expensive. And unless Chicago really gave them a super, super, super sweet deal, I don't know that they're going to want to say, oh, because of history, we'll go back there. Like, I don't see a lot of... With these uploaded up front, I think they will want to do more events around the U.S., in smaller venues that probably don't cost as much.
I think so too, but here's the thing. Chicago. These events didn't sell out. GoFest sells out. That's actually the surprising thing to me, is that, you know, the tickets went on sale at 8, and at like 11 o'clock, you could still get tickets.
Yeah, but I think the bigger question is, did the two locations sell more, even though they didn't sell out, than one Chicago?
Oh, I'm the other tickets are on sale, but I'm sure. I mean, this is what we said on the podcast before, is like, why keep doing one location when you could do multiple locations and make even more money?
And if you don't sell out, then great.
I just don't think, I just think that GoFest is, look, I'm not advocating for GoFest. I think this way is better. I just think that they would do GoFest as a, like, okay, here is an all-day thing. Here is the thing that sells out. This is, like, the Super Bowl, the WrestleMania, the Olympics of our year. And we use this to kick off our summer. And their summer is always very, very good. Like, I suspect after summer... in like September, October, they will have an event in like the Portland area or the Seattle area or the California area, because that area seems to be forgotten about. I mean, they have one in the middle of the U.S., St. Louis, and they have one on the East Coast, Pennsylvania.
Man, if they have one in Portland, I'm in. I'm going.
Really?
I love Portland. Yeah, oh, absolutely. That was on my list of cities I could have moved to. Portland is beautiful.
I mean, it is, but...
I mean, I'm sure there will be another one in South America. I'm sure Australia will get one. I wouldn't be surprised if they try India. Japan will obviously have something over Pikachu Outbreak. There's more than one place in Europe, so I completely suspect them to do a lot more Safari Zones. I'm just curious of, like, I feel like they have to do one more year of GoFest just because, like, They didn't say they were done with it, and it does really kick off their summer, which is the most successful they've ever been, is during the summer.
Nah, I think GoFest is dead. That's my prediction.
I think GoFest has a mixed history. So, like, people still report about the disastrous first GoFest.
That's
so
true.
I would think that they'd be like, you know what, we're just going to leave that behind. Like, we did a good one, we had a bad one, let's just call it even and be
two
out.
Two good ones, one bad one. I can definitely see, maybe they go like, hey, instead of GoFest, we're doing two Safari Zones at the same time, one in Chicago, one in Houston. I could see them doing that. And these are a little bit more special because they're going to kick off our summer. How are they going to distribute Shaymin? Or whatever other mythical Pokemon they distribute at these events. Speaking of changing things up, the other thing they've announced here is Community Day. Make your voices heard. Trainers, Community Day is a key piece of what makes Pokemon Go a unique gaming experience. It's an event that encourages all trainers to go out and play one day a month. And we've ended... multiple days a month you force us to play together, Pokemon Go. And we've endlessly...
You make me spend time with my friends. How dare you?
We endlessly inspire that by impact it had on building local communities. To allow Community Day to live up to its name, we are letting trainers everywhere vote on the next Pokemon.
Quote unquote. Sure you are. I believe this.
Voting is next weekend. You will vote by collecting research tasks and then completing the research tasks. If you don't want to vote for a specific Pokemon, they encourage you to delete their task and find another task, and they said that they will fairly spread out the tasks and whatnot.
Oh, so it's a limited number of candidates.
There's four. I have all four here for you.
I thought I could vote for any Pokemon.
No, nope. I have four.
Denied.
I have four for you. The 2020 February Community Day candidates. Here you go. Number one, Vulpix.
Okay, number two, please.
Number two, Machop. Nothing? All right,
about... What do you want from me? What do you want me from the Arm Stealer? We know that Machop, the whole line is bad.
What do you want? What about Rhyhorn?
No, bad, boring.
All right, can I win you over with a little Dratini?
Already did it.
Yeah, no.
All of these are bad. Except for the Vulpix. Is cute.
I guess Vulpix wins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I getting both kinds of Vulpix? Or
I'm
just
excited
one kind?
That if any of these win, I can probably skip Community Day.
Yeah.
Although, big news, big changes at the Mall of America.
What?
So previously, there was a rumor that they were going to start removing stops from Mall of America because Mall of America didn't want Pokemon Go people in there.
Didn't want all of our business buying, you know, uncooked cookie dough and ice cream and etc.
But how the tables have turned. For now, that very mall is encouraging people to come for Community Day, and businesses are starting to offer Community Day specials.
Well.
Oh, the tables have turned. So, Mall of America, you can go buy
so
cheap food.
Mall
now.
America, Go Fest. 2020 confirmed.
Yeah. It's indoors.
When you buy a ticket, you're restricted to a floor.
Third floor
is best floor.
You get one ride on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ride. That's
I don't
it.
Want that. No. I want the SpongeBob roller coaster or the Fairly Odd Parents roller coaster.
Neither. You get TMT or nothing.
Well, then
you get
nothing.
Bubble
Thanks.
Guppies or nothing.
There's no Bubble Guppies.
Oh, Bubble Guppies is there.
At the Mall of America?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
It's like some entrance.
I don't even know what a bubble guppy is.
Oh, but there's a new fancy M&M store coming where the American Girl doll store used to be. So we're going to get all sorts of wild M&M flavors now. It's very exciting.
The four Pokemon here are not randomly picked. Look, Niantic makes a lot of bad decisions. We've already established that. I would assume that a lot of their decisions are probably throttled by the Pokemon Company because they have to get pretty much everything approved through the Pokemon Company International. But they didn't just randomly pick four Pokemon out of the available 500 Pokemon available. like Will said, some of these Pokemon have existed before, like Dratini. So I want to go through this and point out the logic here, because at the end of this, I think Greg's right. I don't think it matters who wins, because all four of these were picked for a reason. Niantic is going to do the Niantic thing, which is going to be, we'll see a press release in a week or a month that'll say, "Trainers, we're so proud that you went out there and you voted. Because of your dedication, we're going to give you all four of these." They're going to do something like that, because they always do, because it's Niantic.
And the research things you vote on don't actually matter, because they'll never actually release the results. It's already decided.
I'm not going to go into their special moves or whatnot. They all have special moves, but let's start with Vulpix. Alolan Vulpix is already available as a shiny, but regular Vulpix is not. So there's two reasons why Vulpix is added to this list. The number one reason is Vulpix is a very popular Pokemon. It has a lot of merchandise in the Pokemon Center. Alolan Vulpix and Vulpix are quite a duo now. But more importantly, Niantic is using this Pokemon to test if people are okay with a two-stage Pokemon. Vulpix into Ninetales, no third evolution.
Ooh.
So that's why Vulpix is originally picked. Now, you could say, well, Pikachu existed, and that's true, because Pikachu's three, but Pikachu's locked in eggs. You can do the default answer of Pikachu doesn't count because it was the first one. And it's Pikachu. Very hard to compare any Pokemon to Pikachu. Okay. So that's why Vulpix is on this list. Very popular. They're testing to see if people are okay with not having a three-stage evolution. I think the answer is obvious. Yes, Vulpix is one of the Pokemon that is very vocal on Reddit and Twitter of wanting to win. Number two is Machop. The obvious, Machop is one of the best fighting type Pokemon in the game. But the reason Machop is on that list is, one, because of that. But number two is because Machop's shiny is already available. So what this means is Niantic is testing to see if the community is okay with a community day of a Pokemon that is already available in the shiny. This matters for a couple reasons. One, because eventually they're going to run out of shiny Pokemon, right? Like the drip feed of shiny Pokemon is catching up with itself. We're almost through Gen 5. I hate to break it to people. Gen 7 and Gen 6, 7, and 8 have a very small pool of Pokemon compared to Gen 5 and the previous gens.
Very true.
Mm.
And we're getting near the end. So Machop's shiny has been available, but this Pokemon is on the list because it is one of the best in gyms and raids, and it's already shiny. So Niantic is testing that specifically if people are okay with that. Now, Rhyhorn's on the list for the same reasons as Machop. It's very good in raids and gyms, but its shiny is not available. It is a three-stage evolution that requires a Sinnoh Stone. We already know that people are okay with that. They did with that with Swinub, and with Ralts. But more importantly, Rhyhorn is very readily available for anyone in a ground biome. It's the Pokemon on the list that is not shiny, but also doesn't come from a 10K egg. So Niantic is testing that to see if people are okay with a Pokemon that wouldn't be as rare. You know, prior to community days, it was almost impossible to find a Dratini. It was almost impossible to find a Ralts or a Beldum. Now, they did kind of do that with Swinub, but you could maybe argue that the reason Swinub got featured is because it was the year of the pig. But this is why Rhyhorn is on the list. And you could see them doing that with Weedle or Spheal, you know, these Pokemon that are very common, but we don't specifically have shinies of yet. And then the last one is the biggest tell of why this list is created. Again, none of these four were specifically, they just didn't throw them in a bucket and then puke them out and say, well, these are the four we got. Dratini is on the list to prove, can they repeat another community day? Can we take a Pokemon that we did almost 2 years ago and can we recycle it again? Dratini is extremely popular. You don't really find it in the wild. If you hatch a lot of 10K eggs, of course you're going to get a lot of Dratinis, but that's not who Community Day is targeting. Community Day is targeting people who will go out, maybe spend $4, and get everyone together. Niantic doesn't care about the people who get a million Dratinis or already caught a million Dratinis on Community Day, because those people are going to spend money even if they whine and pout that they've had this Community Day before. It's very clear that a lot of players were not playing when Dratini Community Day came around. So again, at a certain point, they're going to run out of shiny Pokemon to add, and they're going to have to recycle community days or recycle, like with the Machop situation. This Pokemon's already shiny. Can we do a community day for it? Because they got to do 12 a year. So that's why Dratini is on the list.
Did they already prove they can redo them with the last community day in December, which was all of them?
Yeah, but those are always like...
Nobody plays it because it's Christmas?
Yeah, no one plays it, and the odds are not nearly as high on those days. I think instead of 1 in 25, they're like 1 in...
such a variety of
them. They're like 1 in 70 or something. I think all of these will eventually be community days this year. I don't think Snivy is going to be March. Gen 5 is not even 6 months old yet. By the time we got the Gen 4 starters, it was already 11 months in the game. If they were to do Snivy in March, and then Tepig in May, and then Oshawott in July, then we're done with Gen 5 starters, and Gen 6 starters wouldn't even be out yet. For those that are like, well, the pattern of they always rotate starters, the pattern would either end now, of they hold back on Snivy and they don't give it to you in March. I mean, it's possible that they do Snivy in March, but it's going to end and Gen 6 won't be out yet. And then what are they supposed to do at that point? They're not going to give you Fennekin right away because they need to artificially make something rare for like 6 months and then give it to you after that, right? That's like what there's an artificial rarity in Go. And after a year, that Pokemon is no longer rare, and they move on to the next one. There's not a situation, though, going back to this community, there's not a situation here where Vulpix wins, and they go, well, I guess we'll never give Rhyhorn a community day. Like, they're never going to do that.
No, but they will, because we voted for it. Don't you understand? If we all don't do those, we have control over their release schedule. It's direct feedback. Five head.
Machop. Evolve Machop into Machamp using the exclusive move Payback. There's not going to be a situation ever where Machop doesn't get Payback. They've already pretty much guaranteed that whether it's this event or a future event, they're going to give Machop Payback. For me, it doesn't matter what wins. I wouldn't be surprised if Dratini wins because, again, I think people are underestimating the amount of casual people that don't specifically care about whether something is good or not. A lot of people just really like Dragonite. And if they started playing literally any time after the Dratini Community Day and they don't spend money on incubators, they probably don't have a lot of Dratini. And I can't remember the last time I found Dratini in the wild that wasn't maybe like a one-off event where they did for a weekend where Dratini spawned. I mean, unless you're counting those like October or the December community day stuff. But even then, there wasn't that many Dratini too. That's what I think. I think that like all of the, I don't think there's a guaranteed winner in this batch, even though people might point to the obvious of it being Rhyhorn because it's not shiny and it's a good attacker.
I'm voting for Vulpix. I don't care. I just need a little cutie.
Yep.
Last bit of news is the Lunar event is happening now. And there will be a Minccino community day. When you're listening to this on Monday, it would be the upcoming Sunday. It would be on, what was that, February 2nd, I think? February 2nd.
Yep.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we have some Pokemon cake.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And some Global Link news. We will be right back. They're not a Pokemon Snap 2.
Pokemon Snap 2.
Why is there not a Pokemon Snap 2? 2. 2. I pre-ordered it right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. This was sent in by Gabe from our Attic channel in Slack off Kotaku. The Pokemon Cakes episode of Food Network Challenge is a glorious mess.
Mm-hmm.
In last night's episode of the competitive cooking show Food Network Challenge, four professional bakers. There needs to be a big asterisk there. Attempted to create cakes resembling popular pocket monsters.
You make a Squirtle cake in 2 hours.
In the first round of the new episode, which is available on Food Network's website, bakers were given 2 hours to create edible versions of Pokemon characters. Once completed, the creations would be judged by a panel of baking experts, and one competing baker would be eliminating. The remaining three would go on to round two, building another Pokemon to face off in the battle scene. Oh, it's very obvious who lost the first round. Will, describe to me this Sobble.
The Sobble doesn't look too bad compared to some of the other ones, but I mean, it looks like a Sobble. Maybe the head's a little too big, but a lot of what is that stuff called?
Fondant.
Icing, fondant that you're not supposed to eat.
Well, you can eat it. You don't want to, but no. You can.
Yeah. But it's sitting on a lily pad. I applaud their innovation for having the Sobble on a lily pad like that. Not sure what the little fin on the top of its head is made out of. That's definitely different. Certainly,
it's real blocky.
Blue.
It's a real blocky
cake.
Boy.
Didn't do so good on the hands and the feet.
I like how its head comes to like a complete like 90-degree angle.
Yep.
Yep. And it's got just two little pokes in the front for his nose. Like, just whoop, whoop.
Greg, describe this Litten to me.
Okay. Have you ever seen a doll made from the 1800s?
Yeah.
Basically, it's like a sack filled with sawdust with arms stretched straight out.
It kind of made me think of Gumby.
A little bit.
Or Davy and Goliath. Davy and Goliath.
Yeah. Gumby and Davy are probably more animated than this monstrosity. The head is pretty good. Like, they got the head good, but
minus
they also...
Minus the one whisker coming out of its eye.
Minus the one whisker coming out of its eye. The head is also not the right size for that body, which
no.
We learned from Cats the movie is a problem.
Yeah.
Maybe they just got done seeing Cats. They were inspired.
Have. They were inspired to make this. I mean...
This is not a Jellicle Litten.
It is not. It is not the Jellicle choice, I'll tell you that much. I mean, all the pieces are there. It's unhappy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And it definitely has a whisker coming out of its eyeball.
Why wouldn't you make a Litten that was on all four legs rather than trying to make one standing up?
Because it's going to fight. This Litten is for fight.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Because don't you, with like these cakes, don't you use wires on the inside?
Yeah. The arms are probably
all kinds
Rice Krispies.
To,
I bet.
Yeah.
To like that. And they probably use Rice Krispies to make
call these
the,
things a cake is a real stretch of the
you know,
definition
you know
of
what,
cake.
You know what? Probably the most disturbing about the Litten one is the fact that the whiskers actually look like another set of baby doll arms.
Yeah.
That are poking out of its face. That is probably the most disturbing aspect.
Will, describe this beautiful Chikorita I'm looking at.
The Chikorita, I think, is the worst of them all. They didn't put the little necklace on it at all.
I don't think that was the problem.
It's just not the right proportions.
No.
I feel like they pulled up a picture of bay leaf and Chikorita and they didn't know there was a difference between the two.
Yeah.
Welcome to Bayorita.
It's like Chikorita was evolving and they like jammed on the B button real quick and then made a cake out of it.
And the hind legs are no.
It looks like they started making a Brontosaurus and went, that's not right. It has a leaf on its head.
It also looks like its stomach is about to puke out all the inwards.
Innards?
Yeah.
Not puke. It's more like alien face hugger, that kind of thing coming out of the body. Yeah.
The eyes are cute.
The Sobble, the Litten, and the Chikorita went against a very, very well-done Mudkip. That also
the Mudkip is excellent.
Well, except the Mudkip is grotesque.
Well, no, the Mudkip's good.
It squirts water at you. Nobody needs a cake that squirts water at you.
First, I'm going to say this.
Look, only in Europe do they dip their cake into liquids. All right.
First, you covered it being grotesque by calling it Mudkip. Second, innovative how they got it to squirt water.
By sticking a tube through it? That's nothing innovative about that.
Its proportions are really good, too.
Yeah.
But also, once again, why is Mudkip standing on two legs?
Because it's standing up to water gun.
You don't have to stand up to water gun. I have used that move plenty of times.
Okay, so then round two went on. It doesn't say here, but I'm pretty sure the Chikorita lost.
Pretty sure the Chikorita lost. It doesn't appear in anything else in any of these other pictures.
In number two, Greg described to me this Pikachu.
So it's the new version of Pikachu. It's much thinner. It's jumping through a hoop for some reason. And instead of actually having hands, they gave it two tasers.
They really did give it like
they gave
tasers.
It two tasers.
I was going to be charitable and say that they were fireworks shooting out of its hands, but no, that's a piece of electronics that sparks. Yeah.
They're two tasers. It's got no hands. It's got two tasers.
Why? Its mouth is just like, there's just something disproportionately wrong about that. Where like the mouth and the cheeks and
it's not the worst. Let's be honest.
The Pikachu
is not the worst.
Was,
the Pikachu at least looks like a Pikachu that's going to tase you.
Made by the Mudkip girl.
Yeah. I'm concerned that they have the water squirting at the tase hand. Like, this is just a recipe
The question is, where did she get the water? Like, did she prep this? Did she, like, know that she was going to make Pikachu and she brought in fireworks?
They just basically use sugar. So, for sugar sculpting, you have the big plunger that you put the sugar in, and then you can put it into tubes so that it hardens easy, so you can sculpt sugar. So, they basically just use the existing candy-making apparatus to shove a tube up Mudkip and have that shoot water out. They just use that. Like, those are fairly common baking supplies for decorating.
Yeah, but the fireworks, I don't think, is a fairly...
Yeah, the fire... I'm not sure where she pulled the taser from, apart from maybe, like, her belongings. Like, I'll just attach the taser here.
Mm. Will, can you describe the Squirtle?
Well, I mean, it's very happy. It kind of resembles the rainbow Squirtle book cover.
Yeah.
Kind of. Tail's wrong. It's about twice the size of Litten. If it falls over, Litten's gone.
Maybe they thought if we make it bigger, it'll be easier to sculpt.
I'm sure.
The shell is submerged underwater. I'll be charitable. It is submerged under the wave that is coming behind the Squirtle.
It's clearly summoning surf. It's like a giant surfing wave to come crush this tiny little creepy 1900s doll, Litten.
It's just so scary looking.
But the best for last. Because from what I can tell, they all had to be doing some sort of attack. Like, they all had to do something.
Yeah, I don't think as of this recording, the final episode has aired yet, because we went from 4 to 3, and then I would assume it would go to 3 to 2.
Yeah, but they have a different challenge every week. So
it depends on which one it is. They usually eliminate after the second round, and then they do a third round and who declare the winner in a lot of them. So it could be that there's one more thing they had to do.
Well, it doesn't say who made the Bulbasaur, but I'm assuming it's the Sobble person, since Chikorita person definitely got knocked out.
Most likely, yeah.
Unless they skipped what the Sobble person made, and we're assuming that the Mudkip person made the Bulbasaur?
I mean, all of these things look like they had to pick one that matched the type weaknesses, so I'm imagining that the Bulbasaur was against the Sobble. And it shoots leaves, which are very cute.
Well, yeah, it's really cool.
So this
actually.
Episode will be on today at 4 p.m. Central for those of us who have the Food Network. Boy, somebody won $10,000 for making one of these monstrosities.
Yeah, they did.
The Bulbasaur is actually really good, though.
Yeah, so this looking
well, you can't see the whole Bulbasaur. Why is it suspended in the air like that?
So it can shoot the leaves.
It shot itself up with Vine Whip. So this looks like it is the one where they all complete all in one show. So there should be another challenge after this. Because episode 3 is Wizard of Oz Cakes, which that looked like they did a much better job.
The way Food Network challenges, they finish the challenge every episode, and then it's a different challenge. So the previous episode to this was Back to the Future Cakes, and then next week it's going to be Monopoly Cakes.
Ooh!
That Chikorita baker should be very disappointed with themselves. Should never show themselves on TV again.
And it's almost like the easiest Pokemon to do because it's just a stupid pear thing.
Yeah, it's just a blob with a bunch of blobs around his neck. How did you go so wrong?
I'm telling you, it looks like they pulled up a picture of Bayleaf and didn't realize it was a different Pokemon.
Probably.
They must have.
I think that the only thing easier would be to have made a Ditto. You know, just a Ditto cake.
But even if they did a Bayleaf, they didn't do the necklace.
No, I know.
They got the body.
And all you had to do is take, what are those, like, the little candies that I like? The lime ones, the green. Green spice drops.
Yeah.
Just do that and a ring around the thing's neck. Done.
We're going on the show next time. We have a year to learn how to bake.
Oh, you just throw some flour and water and egg and milk and mix it around.
Things a circle.
Circle cakes are hard.
Look at how many heads they made. I don't know if they mastered that.
A globe cake or a circle cake? What are you talking here?
No, like a lot of the bakers got the circle shape right. Like Litton's head is good. Mudkip's head is good.
If this was my challenge, is a chargeable cake. Since it's a square.
I outside of this whole discussion of this particular, I don't understand the whole, I want a cake that's actually a sculpture. I want a cake I can eat. I want a sheet cake that I could grab by the fistful and shove down my throat.
Well,
and it better
that's
be
in
delicious.
The back.
Not that, but no, don't waste. This is wasteful.
Yeah, but that's what weddings do. They make a pretty cake that you won't eat, and then there's like 50 sheet cakes in the back that they serve to everybody.
And then they steal the cake and hide it or something.
That's true.
Here's what they should have done. They should have all done Pokemon Quest cakes, because they're all square.
Yeah, they really...
Done and done.
I don't think some of them were educated in Pokemon. He has a point, Chikorita girl. This was...
Chikorleaf.
This was sent in by Lance from our Attic channel in Slack off Pokemon.com. Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution on Netflix.
So just to step this back a second, this is the movie we were supposed to get in November of 2018 that everybody was like, well, I guess we're not getting that movie, right?
Yep.
That one. Okay.
This was the movie that did extremely well in Japan and Korea and never came to the United States. Let me read Pokemon.com here. Start popping the popcorn now. Greg and Will.
It's popped.
Go to your
I have a store downstairs for me that specializes in popcorn.
As the latest Pokemon animated movie will soon be premiering as a Netflix original. The CGI animated film Pokemon Movie Strikes Back, Mewtwo Strikes Back, or Movie Strikes Back, whatever you want, Evolution is a reimagining of Pokemon the first movie, which was originally released in North America in 1999. The new movie major hit when it debuted in Japan last year and became one of the top grossing films during the opening weekend there. In Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution, researchers discover and exploit max raid dens in order to get shiny Pokemon. Oh, wait, no, hold on. Researchers discover and exploit a fossil of the mythical Pokemon Mew, unleashing a creation that goes against the very laws of nature. Mewtwo, a legendary Pokemon intended for use as a tool of destruction.
Yes.
But as Mewtwo becomes aware of its own dubious origin, it begins to resent its human creators and seeks revenge. Ash,
Pikachu and their friends find themselves at the center of its rampage. Mewtwo's evolution will debut on Netflix February 27th, Pokemon Day.
Oh, in time for my anniversary.
If you're not following the, what are they calling it? The streaming wars right now. Netflix is in...
Losing?
I don't think they're losing.
I don't think they're losing.
Netflix is in competition with like HBO and Disney right now. And Apple. Those are probably the big four, right? Disney, Apple, HBO, and Netflix. Because Disney owns Hulu. So Hulu
Disney
doesn't count.
Hulu, so Hulu doesn't count.
I guess. I hate saying Apple. Wait. What about YouTube TV?
Didn't they give up on original content?
Oh, you mean in create? But wait. Buying a Pokemon movie is not original content.
No, well, I mean, it's original in the fact that this is literally the only place you can see it. Like, that in itself is, well, exclusive content.
It's exclusive content. It's not original content.
I'm curious of how long... So, it's not surprising to me that, like, this movie is coming to Netflix. It's more interesting to me of, like, how long this deal was in the works. Because I'm sure Netflix... probably paid a pretty penny for this. Not probably because this movie is going to be particularly good. I mean, the first the first Pokemon movie is not great. It's fine.
What?
But it's the like if everyone just took off their nostalgia glasses, that movie is
no,
like
I refuse to take off my nostalgia glasses that movie, and you can't make me.
That movie is like 20 minutes of Mewtwo at the end of all the Pokemon brainlessly fighting each other. And then it's like all of this time waste of how Ash and company get to the island. Like a lot of people, I think, forget that part of the movie, but they spend
your version of time waste and my version of time waste are vastly different. That is rich character background.
They spend so much time in like it's not even a Pokemon Center, it's like a warehouse, like trying to decide how to get to this island.
You certainly remember this movie much differently than I do.
It's a pretty boring movie. The Pokemon companies, we've learned one thing. They're really good at making money. So I'm sure they got paid very well by Netflix to have this movie on Netflix. Overall, it's interesting that we didn't get this movie when we were supposed to, because to back up the truck, the Pokemon Company. Okay, so whether or not you liked Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee was a game that used the Gen 7 engine. So they didn't really have to remake an entire engine like they did for Gen 8. They needed more time with Gen 8, saw that the Switch was finally successful, and they figured that remaking Pokemon Yellow, which is what Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee is, it's a remake, or in their words, a reimagining, which they use here in Mewtwo Strikes Back. So reimagining Pokemon Yellow on the Switch was the right choice. So some would argue it was the right choice because Pokemon Go was an undeniable success. Those people are right. Some people would say they did it because people love Gen 1, which is undeniably true. Those people are right. And then some people would say they only did this because they needed one game a year. And those people are right as well. There's no reason why the Pokemon Company shouldn't put out one game a year if it sells 11 million copies. That's a lot of copies. So all those people are right. But on top of that, there wasn't a coincidence that they took the time. Like, they didn't make Let's Go with the, like, oh, we need to put something out. Like, they planned Let's Go. And they plan to remake the first Pokemon movie at the same time. They like 100% knew what they were doing. They were capitalizing on nostalgia and on Pokemon Go players, sure. But the goal was we're going to put out a childhood favorite, Pokemon Yellow, and we're going to put out the Mewtwo movie again, which is also a childhood favorite, at the same time and capitalize on that. And they did that successfully in Japan. But for whatever reason, I don't know if they couldn't strike a deal with theaters, because that movie would have done well here. It would have done that.
I think definitely, yeah, it would have been great. I think a lot of people would have been like, I loved the first movie, and now it's a CGI version of it. Heck yeah.
So that's the like takeaway from this entire conversation is, like, I don't think we'll ever know what happened of, like, why this movie didn't make it to theaters. Sure, Pokemon Day is a convenient time, but I'm sure they secured that deal a long time. Like, I'm sure they secured that deal a couple months ago, and they were like, well, let's just hold it to Pokemon Day. Because there was a Mewtwo distribution in Let's Go in Japan. There was a Then at one point, we randomly got a Mewtwo distribution in the UK, and they decided to tie that in with a TCG release. And then right before Sword and Shield came out, they were like, well, we might as well give you guys your Mewtwo. I guess Best Buy gave us some money, so here's Mewtwo and Let's Go right before Sword and Shield came out, which is fine. But, like, you know, they were saving the Mewtwo for this movie that never came out. And I don't think a lot of people put two and two together. Like, the reason they remade this movie was the same reason they remade Let's Go. They were going to put them out at the same time together. And it just, again, goes to show you that the Pokemon Company is really good at hitting on all these cylinders that other companies aren't doing. Like, they don't just brainlessly put out games or movies without this supplemental content to benefit each other. They're really smart at this. They're really good at this. But for some reason, this movie didn't make it out in the United States or anywhere else outside of Korea and Japan in 2018.
It may be that they always distribute through the
Phantom.
What is it called? Yeah, and that maybe Phantom is not doing so good.
Yeah, I remember emailing Phantom, and I said, like, when are you guys doing tickets for this? When is this coming? And they were like, oh, we haven't heard anything from the Pokemon Company about this movie yet.
Hmm.
So maybe that's where the rift is.
I mean, they're still doing a lot of events. I see their ads all the time.
Phantom? Yeah.
Yeah, but it may be that the Pokemon events weren't making that much money for them.
Probably. Not enough to eat up.
I know
space.
The Power of Us didn't do well in theaters, but I Choose You did. Because people like Gen 1.
Yep. Well, once bitten, twice shy. There you go.
I got some sad news for you guys.
No. What?
I'm fine with it.
This is off Pokemon.com. Pokemon Global Link end of service announcement.
This is like un-news because everybody thought that it was dead 5 years ago.
No, I use it every day.
For what?
I have no idea.
Break out your tissues. After more than 9 years of operation, the Pokemon Global Link, the PGL, will terminate service on February 24th, 2020.
Aren't they giving away a Muna right now?
They are.
Get it.
The Pokemon Global Link website will also be retired at this time. After PGL service has ended, you will no longer be able to use any gameplay features that require connection to the PGL on your Pokemon Ultra Sun, your Pokemon Ultra Moon, your Pokemon Sun, or your Pokemon Moon games. You will still be able to use other online functionality apart from the PGL listed below.
So, wait, what was Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon using on the PGL?
I will let you know.
Please do let me know.
Oh, boy.
Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield will provide services similar to the PGL rating battles and online competition features and will be available to play via the Nintendo Switch. However, note that any Nintendo Switch Online member, Nintendo Switch Online, in parentheses, paid service is required to participate in online competitions. Thank you for using the PGL, and we hope you continue to enjoy PGL services until they end. Okay, so this is what's going to happen on February 24th. Keep in mind, Pokemon Home is supposed to come out in February. No date, but the Global Link shuts down on the 24th. So I don't know, and Pokemon Day is the 27th. I don't know, pick a day in February, probably around there. Maybe sooner. All right, so this is what's going to happen on the 24th. 3ds.pokemon-gl.com cannot be used. That website will be defunct. PGL login / new user registration, out of the question. Link game software, you better believe you won't be able to use that. Games.
I don't even know what that means.
game sync. Unfortunately, no more game sync. Game sync ID insurance. Uh-uh. That's gone. Free battle. Use it all you want. Doesn't require the PGL. You want to battle against somebody's 6 shiny hacked Zeraora? You're more than welcome. The Pokemon Company encourages it.
Sweet.
Rating battles. Out of the question. How dare you? No more ratings. Out of the question. Online competitions. Nope, 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 nope. We're charging for that now. Nintendo paid online service. You got to pay to online compete. No longer free. Out of the question. Friendly competitions.
No.
Kinda. You're not allowed to use QR codes.
Yeah.
However, you can use a code which you have saved for the image elsewhere. So get your QR code scanned now if you want to do that. Friendly online competitions via the internet. I got two letters for you. N-O. No.
All right.
Distribution regulations. There's a triangle here that means warning. Information viewed via the PGL website cannot be viewed after the closure. This function itself does not use the PGL, so you can continue to use it. Oh, I see what they're saying. If you've downloaded the regulation rules, they can still be used. But you can't get new ones. Communication battles local wireless. Can always be used. Safe to trade. This is the big one here. Communication trading GTS.
What's Greg's favorite way to trade?
Yep. It's the best.
Information viewed via the PGL website cannot be viewed after closure, but this function itself does not use the PGL. So it can continue to be used for the time being. It's their actual words. So GTS is safe. Same for Wonder Trade.
For now.
Safe. Does not make use of the PGL. Communication trading infrared. Will, we can still trade locally.
Nice.
Thank goodness. QR rental teams. QR codes can no longer be used. However, if you have saved QR codes, you are fine. Don't delete them, though. Battle videos. This does not make use of the PGL. So you are allowed to save your battle videos still. That is everything that is happening when the PGL shuts down. I hope no one listening to the show got a heart attack.
Well, I just need to output my records of like all my playthrough records that are stored on the PGL to a PDF, and then I'll have them forever.
Yep. That's how you do it.
How will we know what the most petted Pokemon is?
I know.
If the PGL is shutting down.
It's Sylveon.
I think it's still Incineroar. I don't think it was ever not Incineroar.
Rip.
The PGL was not great.
No, it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't horrible.
I mean, it was better than a lot of things.
It was definitely restricting in the sense of like competitions and distributions, right? Like if you wanted to participate in the everyone hatch a million eggs, you had to go to the PGL first, link your game, talk to the lady in the festival plaza for her sync. That's what the game sync was.
Are we
going to
say that the way that they made it work was a bit clunky? Sure. Like there were a lot of steps. They were very, very protective of their free service for children. So yeah, there was some clunkiness to it. But once you knew how to do it, it wasn't terrible. Is the new way easier? Sure, you're also paying $20 for it. So now you know where your money went.
I would always pay $20 for convenience.
Well, so my issue is the nice thing about the PGL was there was one website that you could go to,
yes,
and then you could see like all your records, you could see about competitions and all your milestones and everything were uploaded there. I mean, a lot of people didn't know that they could look there to see their milestones, but, and I don't know if there's a website, like a corresponding website any longer.
Pokemon Home.
Maybe.
You're making a lot of promises about Pokemon Home, and when they don't deliver, I'm going to be real sad.
Okay. That's my jam, making you real sad for the promises.
306 million Pokemon as of this recording traded via the GTS in the Sun and Moon games.
Wow.
Ultra. 306 million. And then there's a picture of Popplio. So I think actually what they're saying is 306 million Popplio got traded. Pokemon Refresh number one is Incineroar still. Yeah, I guess that's like kind of the weird thing with Sword and Shield is like I'm at the PGL right now. I can see the most used QR teams for double battles. That's available here. They all include Landorus. Spoiler. I can see the rating battles for trainer ratings of all match formats. I can see somebody's Japanese name and they have 7,000 points. Spoiler, they're all Japanese names except for this one person named Sun. I can see some news. Look, the GTL is real garbage. You know how hard it was to redeem and sign up for those Tapu Koko, Tapu Lele events? They didn't make it clear.
Not hard.
No, it was like four clicks.
Oh no, the four clicks.
And that's if you got the four clicks, like if you knew exactly where to click. Look, it took me forever to get my Muna. Because when you click on the, like, notification, Muna is here, it takes you to a different webpage, which explains it to you, but doesn't tell you how to get it.
Yeah, that sounds about right for the global link.
Because it's like, oh, you clicked the raw, you were supposed to click the mini text in the upper left-hand corner. It was fine. It, like, 9 years is way too long to keep a single system.
True. I mean, think of how many games we've gone through in those 9 years that it's been supporting. Six.
Hopefully Pokemon Home has something.
I hope so. It's going to have all these great records. It's going to tell you how many shinies you got, how many raids you did, how many friends you have. It's going to be brilliant.
How many shuffles you shuffled.
It's going to be all of your home stuff. All the home. It's a home of home.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll end with Pokemon of the Week and Question of the Week. We will be right back.
I love beets so much.
Give you beets because I will take Brussels sprouts.
Carrot. Brussels sprouts. Mushrooms. Brussels sprouts. Carrot. Brussels sprouts. Legumes.
You know, I've had a lot of vegetables and I hate almost all of them. I don't know if I've had a Brussels sprout. I think if I was to pick a favorite,
Brussels sprouts. Carrot. Brussels sprouts. Mushrooms. Brussels sprouts. Carrot. Legume. Brussels sprouts. Carrot. Brussels sprouts. Mushrooms. Brussels sprouts. Beets. Brussels sprouts. Legume.
It's a legume.
Last bit of news here. Pokemon TCG Alolan Sandslash GX box. Now available. It includes one promo card of Alolan Sandslash GX, one oversized promo card, four booster packs, and a code card for the Pokemon trading card game online. It's not Sword and Shield, but it's if you love Sandslash, they put it on a box.
Is it good?
I don't think it's particularly
200
good.
HP has ability Spiky Shield. If this Pokemon is your active Pokemon and is damaged by an opponent's attack, even if this Pokemon is knocked out, put three damage counters on the attacking Pokemon.
Oh.
And it has Frost Breath for a blue and two colorless, but they got rid of double colorless energy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for 120. And then it's got a GX
move. It and the Pokemon Global Link left together.
Wow. Spiky Storm GX. This attack does 100 damage to each of your opponent's Pokemon that has any damage counters on it.
Bummer.
So
doesn't sound good.
But if you combine it with something that does like spreads damage and moves damage around, sure.
It looks like I'm seeing from the picture. You got two Cosmic Eclipse, those are good. Unified Mind's also good, but I can see back there, upper left. They're sticking in a pack of Steam Siege. Not good. Not good.
Look, not everything can be winners.
As somebody who is still bitter about getting three Crimson Invasion cards at the Pokemon World Championships, you're absolutely right. We all can't be winners here. They give me possibly the worst three booster packs that was printed in the last 2 years. Crimson Invasion is, like, I have, it's been 7 months. I've still not opened those packs because they're worth at least $3 sealed. They are worth nothing if I open them.
Oh, but boy.
Who are you going to sell them to?
Look, I got to let them age next to my Ancient Mew, Greg. Hopefully one day Buzzwool GX will shine again.
I pity your great-grandchildren who are going to be like, we got this box of useless cards from our ancestor. Burn them for fuel.
Oh, man.
Hold on. Crimson Invasion. I'm trying to find a single. Crimson Invasion booster pack, $3.11 on TCG Player.
Yep, yep. Oh. They are, and I think Buzzwool GX is worth like $3.50 maybe, and Beast Ring is like $0.80, and those are the two best cards from that set.
Well, let me see. Let me see what's disgusting. the best, most expensive card in the set right now. It's not on page one. Let's see. Why are there only two pages? Oh, wait, I've got to look at it differently. I apologize. Wow, how old is Crimson Invasion?
A little over a year, I want to say.
Because it has dropped off of the main TCG player.
Yeah, it rotated. It did rotate as of August.
There we go. It's part of the Sun and Moon series, though.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Here we go. Price high to low.
It's not that old.
Okay, so there was a secret water energy that is worth $21.78.
A secret Gyarados GX is $18.05.
Well, the water energy is worth more than the Gyarados GX.
But you could have these in there.
Open those packs.
There's not a lot of reasons why Alolan Sandslash should get its own box. It's not like
Full Art Lusamine.
You know, it's not like they're doing any Alolan Sandslash promotion in movies or TV shows or games. I feel like the only reason they do this is they're like, how can we sell these booster packs again?
Well, that's it. It's like we've got thousands of packs of Steam Siege lying around. How can we get rid of them?
And we need to get rid of them. So I want to do some more research on this. Because I skipped all of the X and Y series. Because I left the TCG when Plasma Freeze and all the Plasma cards started flooding the markets when that was Black and White 2. But the X and Y is what introduced Mega Evolution. And near the end of the X and Y set, they produced a set called X and Y Evolutions, which was a reprinting. Ironically, this came out around Pokemon Go. It was a reprinting of the base set. So, like, Charizard and Chansey and all the original cards got reprinted and slightly modified. They were all still bad, but except I think the Mewtwo is okay. But they reprinted that, and I guess they probably expected, because of Pokemon Go, that these cards would sell well because of nostalgia. But there are still, to this day, including XY Evolutions in, like, hidden in tins. Like, when you go to the store and you're like, ah, they got a new tin of Sun and Moon. I'm sure when the Sword and Shield stuff comes out, I'm confident that they will somehow find a way to stick XY Evolutions behind all those other cards. So you're like, ah, cool, 6 booster packs, 4 Sword and Shield, Seam Siege and XY Evolutions. You know, honestly, I would take Steam Siege over Crimson Invasion. Steam Siege at least had, like, opinions. Mega something. I don't know. It had something in it.
Just open your packs and catch the throw.
Look, it's like a loot box. You don't want to open the bad loot boxes.
What are you going to do
with
them?
How do you know if it's a bad loot box until you open it?
God, this is a good point.
It's like Schrodinger's loot box.
Look, I've played enough Pokemon Go.
You open it,
I know
it's both bad
any
and good.
Seven. Oh, we didn't talk about this. We gotta talk about this real quick.
Okay.
They released Darumaka in Pokemon Go. Year of the Rad, all the red Pokemon. They're restricting it to 7,000 eggs.
Ew.
Not only that, but they decided to make more red Pokemon appear in 7K eggs. So not only do you have to open 7K eggs for Darumaka, they put Wurmple, Vulpix, Shuckle in 7K eggs alongside it. You know how many Vulpix I'm seeing? And you expect me to walk 7 kilometers to possibly get another Vulpix? That's unreal.
Did you get a party hat Wurmple yet?
I did. I got two of them.
Okay, because Greg and I both have them.
At least party hat Wurmple was cute. There is not a fiber in my body that wants to buy incubators for Darumaka.
Well, then don't buy incubators. Just use the one that they give you.
I'm making a stand. Here's the thing about the one you give me. Let me tell you what I have for eggs. Let me. Okay, so I have my one free incubator, and it's incubating a 5K egg. Let me tell you my other eggs. 5K egg, 5K egg, 5K egg. I have another 5K egg and a 5K egg. I have 6 5K eggs right now. Let me tell you what's in them. All garbage. By the time I get through maybe 4 of these 5K eggs, this event will be over. So either
throw them away and just get 7Ks.
You can't throw away eggs. You got to hatch them.
Well, I mean, I can hatch 2 5Ks a day with minimal effort. So
okay. Look, Mr. Legs. Some of us,
Mr. Legs. Okay.
Some of us don't leave our house.
Some of us don't move. Thank you very much.
I work from home. I literally most of my day is walking from my bedroom to my office.
You live on floor 18.
5.
And you got to walk down all these stairs. That's at least 2 7K eggs a flight.
Really? Stairs don't count.
No.
Stairs count. I'm almost positive stairs count for hatching eggs.
You're walking around in a circle. It's like, nah, you're cheating the system.
Yeah, maybe.
It adds steps to the
I am just saying, at least Party Hat Wurmple could have been shiny. And at least there was other decent things. There's not a lot of decent things in 7K eggs. Mm-mm. But you could have got, like, Vulpix. Alolan Vulpix. You could have got, I don't know. There's a couple other things. You could have got
babies.
How mad
are you going to be when I get my Darumaka?
You could have got, like, shiny Igglybuff. But the fact that they took out all the baby Pokemon and then put in Vulpix and Shuckle and Wurmple, This might be the worst thing they've done. Maybe not the worst, it's Niantic, but it's up there. I will wait on Darumaka. All right, question of the week.
How do Magikarps jump so very high? Could a Beedrill really fly? Thoughts like these, they all could be question of the week.
Well, that was lovely. Although, can I put in a bid for some Cole Porter, please?
Yep, you got it. Thank you. Do you have a favorite?
In Love is always good from Kiss Me, Kate.
Got it.
Patrick writes in and says, if the host of the podcast were characters in Pokemon Masters, who would be your partner Pokemon?
Will Victini.
No, you can't have a legendary mythical.
Yeah, you can.
Oh.
Yeah, Giovanni is Mewtwo.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think anyone has a mythical Pokemon yet.
Isn't Solgaleo?
No, that's legendary.
The legendary.
Oh. Mm. I still stand. The first one added in.
First one. Wait, Will, what would you have besides Victini? What would be your non-legendary, non-mythical Pokemon that you would want people to represent you by?
To associate Vileplume.
Vileplume?
Does somebody have that already?
I think Erica does,
Erica has Vileplume.
Well, she took my Vileplume.
Yeah, she took it.
I love me a Vileplume.
I know. Gardenia took my Roserade, so I'm pretty angry about that.
Could I get a Florges?
Yeah, I don't think anyone has Florges. Although, wouldn't Trevor get Florges if they ever introduced Trevor? Trevor's the red hair kid, right? He was completing his Pokedex. Did he not have Florges? Or am I misremembering X and Y?
Florges.
Somebody, when you fight somebody on the bridge near the end of that game, I know the story is riveting in X and Y.
This is like 6 years ago.
Somebody has one of your 18 friends in X and Y. One of them has Florges.
Well, I mean, one of them has one of every Pokemon. It's like, I got to get there first.
I'm pretty sure it was Trevor.
Ribombee. Can I have Ribombee?
No, that's... Wait, what does Mina have? No, Mina has Granbull. Yeah, Mina has Granbull. Well, I'm not 100% sure why, actually.
Yeah, no, you can have her Bombi.
Yeah, you can have her, because Mina didn't take it.
For some weird reason.
Ah, yeah, that choice is weird. Greg, what would you have?
Well, I can't pick Roserade, yep. Which makes me angry. So I am going to go with Boltund.
Okay, all right, oh, all nice, right, all right. Nice. Yeah, I don't think any Sword and Shield character would have that.
No, I'm going to take it as my good, good doggo.
Okay, all right. I think mine's easy.
It'd be Basculin.
No.
Yep.
That would
Steve
be my.
Steve has Basculin.
That would
you're
be my.
You're the first 2-star sync pair.
He's going to have Cramorant.
Yeah, it would be the Cram.
Yeah.
Man, I love the Cram.
Did you see that gif of like the
all four?
Gym battle with four Cramorants
yeah!
with Pikachus in their
oh
throats?
Oh my gosh. The Pokemon Company producing really amazing retweetable content out there.
I wish I could do that.
I did the Galar newcomers. I just picked 6 random Pokemon just to get my loss for my 50 battle points. I was very satisfied, even though I lost very quickly, that I was able to dive with my Cramorant, get a fish in my mouth, and then shoot it out as I died.
You didn't get the Pikachu? The Pikachu one
makes
me laugh.
Yeah, I didn't get the Pikachu. I got the Barracuda, Aerocuda. It was good, though. I died a noble death. Yeah, mine would be the Cramorant. If I couldn't pick Cramorant, I think I would want Chimecho. If I had to do like a non-Gen 8 Pokemon, I would do Chimecho.
Why Chimecho?
I like Chimecho. It's lucky.
I mean, I like Chimecho too, but
Chimecho's
it's just
like budget Jirachi.
Ugh.
All right, Will, Pokemon of the Week.
This is going to be awful. Our last Pokemon of the Week, it wasn't a Pokemon. And it was about a resident of Anastar City. So you had to think about Anastar City with the trinity of Sigilyph, whatever you want to call it, Slowking, Meowstic female. And they are known for their cloak with a star-filled pattern and a bracelet that can hold 2 wrists. And they had a TCG card that worked like Switch, except it healed whatever Pokemon was sent to the bench. Who's that being?
It's
Bronzong.
Ugh.
Not a Pokemon.
It's Whoa. Olympia.
Bronzong's like a bell.
It's Olympia. I don't know what had me thinking about Olympia 2 weeks ago, but there was some reason why.
Olympia?
Yeah. The gym leader from Anastar City.
I know what she is.
Do you?
Yeah, she had a pretty decent gym.
Yeah. Did she appear in the anime, right?
She did several times.
Did she? Did she have a good voice?
The thing was, well, she had like a very like, I'm like outer spacey, otherworldly Uhura kind of voice. But the main thing in the anime was she had one vision of Ash Greninja. And then she also had a vision about what was going to happen with Zygarde. But also what was cool was because the Mega Evolution specials were simultaneous to that season of the X and Y anime, she had a vision about Groudon on Kyogre, and she told Kalos, they gave them the information so that they could protect themselves from that particular event as it was occurring. So there you go.
Apparently she speaks almost entirely in haiku.
Yeah, in Japanese.
Does she not do that in the English anime?
It's harder to make haiku in English. So, no, in the game. Not in the anime. In the anime, she just spoke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In the game, she speaks in haiku.
What would her Pokemon Masters thing be? Meowstic, right?
Yeah.
Sigilyph?
Yeah, but Sigilyph is not as Gen 5.
Right, yeah. You have to, like...
It's outside of her gen.
Well, I mean, they already messed up Mina.
They absolutely did.
Wait, I'm going to look at Mina. She doesn't use a Granbull at all, does she?
Yeah, she does.
Oh, she sure does.
Oh, she
absolutely
does? Okay, I don't remember the Granbull.
Meowstic, sure. I still think she should be Sigilyph.
Okay, when you battle her in Sun and Moon, she uses a Klefki, a Granbull, a Shinnotic, a Wigglytuff, and a Ribombee. In the Gauntlet battle, she uses the same thing. In Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, she uses Mawile, Granbull, Ribombee. Pre-Hall of Fame, in Let's Go, she uses Jigglypuff and Mr. Mime. And then post-Hall of Fame, she uses Mr. Mime, Wigglytuff, and Alolan Ninetales.
Because that's fairy ice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Real good against dragons. Wish I had that in my battle against Ryan.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember the Granbull at all, but okay.
It's pink.
No, yep. I know what Granbull looks like.
All right.
That's our episode.
Excuse me?
What?
I got to give them a new Pokemon of the week.
Well, you threw me off with the non-Pokemon.
All right. So this one is a Pokemon.
Pokemon.
And so as I was leaving the gym this morning and had my music on shuffle, a song by our wonderful friend Nicholas Burgess came up. And it's a song called, I think the name of the song is Some Ladies. And it's from his best album, in my opinion, King of Another Dimension. So I rewrote the lyrics of Some Ladies to reference a particular Pokemon. And the challenge is now you have to go and listen to that song and then hear this particular phrasing as that song. You get what I'm throwing down there, Greg?
I am. Sure. Is it on Spotify?
I'm sure it's on Spotify. Right. King of Another Dimension's been out since 2013, so I did not give this one a title, but I guess the title of this would be called Some Babies. Some babies want a party hat. Some babies want smoochy kiss. Some babies want to evolve when you manage to get high friendship. Some want competitive. Some want cute charm, friend guard, and some babies want to fill with air and sing out very bad. And some babies want to sing, not all of them want to charm, and some of them want a defense curl, pound, sweet kiss, or copycat. Some babies want a party hat, some babies want smoochy kiss, some babies want to hatch from an egg knowing the move Parish song. Some want competitive, some want cute charm, friend guard, and some babies want to fill with air and sing out very bad. And some babies want to sing, not all of them want to charm, and some of them want a defense curl, pound, sweet kiss, or copycat. Some babies want a party hat, some babies want smoochy kiss, some babies want to evolve when you manage to get high friendship, some want competitive, some want cute charm, friend guard. And some babies want to fill with air and sing out very bad. And some babies want to sing, not all of them want to charm, and some of them want a defense curl, pound, sweet kiss, or copycat. That'll get you there.
I'm there. I'm looking it up on Spotify.
Oh, it's a good song. Not the way I wrote it.
All right, that's our episode. Couple house cleaning things before we wrap up here. I have been uploading these episodes to YouTube. So for whatever reason, if this is your first episode or you found this via YouTube, well, I guess thank you. If YouTube just happens to be easier than you, I guess I will keep uploading until either no one is listening anymore or it becomes a hassle. I don't know. It seems to be going okay. We uploaded episodes before on YouTube because people asked for it and then it didn't seem like people were listening. So try it again. Last couple episodes have been on YouTube. This will be on YouTube as well. I'm going to try to start cutting some content from streams. Obviously, I stream every day on Twitch, twitch.tv/PKMNcast. But, you know, some people want extra content, but they also don't want to sit through a six-hour stream. So I'm going to try to start highlighting some of the funny or educational or best content from the streams and moving it over to YouTube. So even if
educational.
Yeah, I was air quoting so hard for that section.
Let me teach you.
No.
About Incineroar.
No.
Another reason to do the YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, all the same now. PKMNCAST, all the same, very easy. It's almost like the name of the website. went up like 100 follows on YouTube since we started uploading these episodes. So clearly, I don't know, somebody's listening to it on YouTube. So thank you. Yeah. Also, for some reason, we have more Patreons than we've ever had in the history of Patreon. So thank you. We're almost at 450 unique patrons.
Well, thank them. Yeah,
we're just shy of 450. So thank you a ton, a lot. I feel like we don't do that enough. That's on me. But to anyone who has supported in the past, or who is currently supported, or even who's made it to the end of the episode, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Means a lot. I don't know. Maybe we can push for 500 patrons this year. That'd be super, super cool. But I guess we'll see. I always set my expectations real low. It's the way to live life. we'll be back next week with some more Pokemon stuff. We still have not talked about Mystery Dungeon DX. I promise you we will. We have not talked about Temtem. I've talked about Temtem when I played it 6 months ago.
I haven't played it yet, so it's going to be a bit.
But I do think Temtem is worth talking about, just comparing it to Pokemon. But look, always next week. That's what we always say. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are...
super effective.
Super St. Louis is the crying capital of the United States.
They have good pizza, though.
I have never been there officially.
And they got good barbecue.
We got plans then.
Like every podcast on the internet, we are supported by Patreon. A shout out to all the producer level or higher patrons, starting with Pancakes, Anthony, Noah, Patrick, Jetsy, Alex, Catherine, Pat Matrick, Jeffrey, Kevin, and Cygnus. Thank you so much for the support. If you would also like to support and join our Slack community, you can do so over at ise.cash, or the link is in the show notes below. I guess it's below if you're holding your phone. Well, or maybe not. Anyways, ise.cash is the easiest way to go there. Thank you for the support. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.